in the limelight.
Dear listeners, this is an article, a critical look at Biden's first executive orders set against the backdrop of Operation Peaceful Transition in Washington, D.C., written by Eleanor Goldfield Ryder. This article is published under the heading, "Despite What You Heard, There Was No Peaceful Transition." Stay tuned. Anyone trying to find the edges of the U.S. overturn window right now must feel like they're tracing an amateur rendition of an early Picasso. After a summer spent chanting defund the police, self-identifying progressives applaud the pouring of some 25,000 troops and busloads of out-of-city law enforcement into the streets of Washington, D.C. Those eager to cheer the departure of a racist, war-hawking elitist from the White House were quick to welcome a new racist, war-hawking elitist. Those who lambasted Trump for dragging more swamp creatures into the swamp rather than draining it are applauding Biden for his diverse cabinet appointments, ignoring the revolving door of corruption and oppression they represent. Those who correctly decried the Paris Climate Agreement for being flimsy and non-committal are celebrating Biden's executive order to rejoin it. Indeed, anyone applauding Biden's first flicks of the wrist as president would do well to look beyond the window dressing. Of the 15 new executive orders that aren't merely a light Trump eraser, they herald a return of the classic Democratic practice of a sprinkling progressive tasting garnish around deep systematic problems. For example, Biden's executive order to once again kill the Keystone XL pipeline project, a project that Obama had already killed, that Trump then revived, is at best a step sideways, not forwards. Biden has said outright that he has no interest in a Green New Deal, despite the fact that the watered-down version that bounced around Congress left gaping holes in truly addressing climate chaos. He has also ignored repeated calls to kill both Line 3 and the ill-fated Dakota Access Pipeline. Meanwhile, the executive order to advance racial equity in the federal government grinds sharply against Biden and Harris' own political histories, while, much like Pelosi's toothless climate crisis committee, it offers up no real action to address the issues at hand. The same is true of Biden's call to defend DACA, the Obama-era legislation that granted a renewable two-year stay of deportation for children who immigrated to the U.S. with their parents. As DACA recipient Ila Mendoza explained back in 2017, DACA was flawed from the very beginning. Mendoza described a carrot-and-stick program that demanded recipients sign admissions of illegal border crossings for momentary reprieves that could be overturned at any time. The convenient announcement of DACA around Obama's re-election just highlighted for Mendoza that this was really about dismissing Obama's deportation of more than 2 million people just in time for Election Day. "You can't tell me it's about children all you want, but you're deporting our parents," she said. In short, DACA wasn't a dream come true. While people like Mendoza struggled to build a life under the gaze of the deporter-in-chief, Obama was only too glad to throw other children in cages, a practice many only found abhorrent when Trump did years later. DACA isn't comprehensive immigration reform. It never was. Establishment Democrats and their fans cooing over it like the return of a lost child doesn't change that fact. Looking ahead, many might feel a sense of relief that Biden at least takes the COVID-19 pandemic seriously, signing executive orders to mandate masks in federal buildings, to rejoin the World Health Organization, and to address the financial freefall impacting millions of Americans. However, if you look closely, you will see again that unfulfilling Democratic garnish sprinkled on deep systematic rot. The executive order to extend the CDC's eviction and foreclosure moratorium until March 31st doesn't address the loopholes in the original order that still allow for evictions. Furthermore, the moratorium does not cancel rent. Tenants will still be liable to pay for all missed payments once the moratorium ends, and landlords are still allowed to hike their rent during the unpaid month. Likewise, the pause on student loan payments demonstrates yet again how little the Democrats are willing to help the people. The move carries over a pause, which Trump administration has started asserting that Biden will carry through on his campaign pledge to cancel $10,000 of student loans per borrower, noting, however, that it will take time as the cancellation has to go through Congress first. Great! So we've got a Trump leftover plus an empty promise to shave off $10,000 in student loans when the average debt sits at $32,731, and that's not including accrued interest. Biden's executive order is essentially a post-it note IOU with a smiley face scribbled on the back. It kicks the can over to Congress in the hopes we won't realize that Biden could actually cancel all $1.7 trillion in student debt with a different, useful executive order. Of course, the fact of the matter is that Biden, the mastermind of the 94 crime bill, has no interest in advancing racial equity. He's never cared about the plight of people drowning in debt or drowning in rising floodwaters, and he doesn't care now. He has no intention of progressing or changing the direction of his political career. Indeed, he quite glibly announced to rich donors back in 2019 that nothing will fundamentally change when he takes the Oval Office. Based on his cabinet picks and his first orders as president, Americans should take him as his word. The relief that Trump is gone is understandable. But don't be lulled by the very conditions that gave rise to Trump's presidency in the first place. To celebrate the so-called return to a democracy Americans never had with a decency that is at best shallow, and at worst, a convenient cover-up for crimes against humanity speaks of a belief in American exceptionalism that is neither warranted nor helpful. Underneath the progressive platitudes and unfulfilling garnish lie the same systematic rot, a rot that was perhaps most noticeable on Inauguration Day itself, when two roads stood sharply demarcated by militarized checkpoints and a revolving door of red and blue capitalist imperialism was almost literally visible. There is no peaceful transition for a country with the largest military and surveillance system the world has ever seen. There is no peaceful transition for a country that represents 5% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's incarcerated. There is no peaceful transition for a nation where slavery is still legalized, where millions have died due to lack of healthcare, housing, and other basic human rights. The revolving door of imperialist capitalist preservation turns again, but there is nothing peaceful about it. And the hope that flows from the twisted tongues of American politicians is not hope for the American people. Still, that doesn't mean that there is no hope. Indeed, quite the opposite.